And welcome to the Tangerine Dream Team Show. Here tonight in the studio is our guest, Pierre Rich. Hi, hello, Pierre. Gonna have to look. Y'all tuned in here? Okay. Hi.
What's up? So, what's the introduction here, Coral? He's an artist and a...
We'll be talking about Pierre's art and his involvement with Miracle Aquaponics. So, to define Miracle Aquaponics, I'm going to have Pierre do that right now.
Yeah.
What that is.
Sure. Well, Miracle Aquaponics is the name of my website. But aquaponics, let's just start with aquaponics. That's complicated enough. Some people know about aquaponics. Many don't because it's pretty new. It is a farming technique or a gardening approach. Aquaponics is scalable, so you can make a small system or it can be commercially scaled. What it is basically is, okay, the word aquaponics comes from aquaculture, which is farm raising of fish. You know, a lot of your salmon and tilapia and catfish and whatnot is farm raised. So that's aquaculture. And hydroponics, as many of us Californians know very well, is growing plants soillessly or in a medium of some sort. So aquaponics is a combination of aquaculture and hydroponics. The problem with both of these things, well, aquaculture, is that aquaculture uses a lot of antibiotics and hormones and different kinds of things to keep the fish healthy because the fish are in water that's worked so hard before they have to dump it out because all those fish are polluting the water.
Is this like fish farms?
Yes, it is fish farms. Aquaculture is fish farms, and they also, you can farm lobsters and shrimp and all sorts of aquatic life forms that are farm raised. Yeah.
So you don't get those omega 3 or 6s that you would get from fish that were like in the cold ocean because they're farm raised. You're just not as healthy
you
for
might
you.
Get less of that.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure about that, but what I do know is that aquaculture, for the most part, is they got to feed the fish all these hormones and everything because they're pushing them in this water that just gets polluted, and they're trying to keep that water as long as possible because when they dump out that water, they got to fill it back up again, and that's a huge cost and effort for production.
So there's a bunch of sewage in that water.
Yes, that's a good point. It's very polluting. Very polluting, and if they do it in the oceans, well, it's destructive to ecosystems in the ocean because all that solid fish waste is dropping down and rotting on the bottom of the ocean floor, the seabed, or the pond, or whatever it is. It's just killing stuff down there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very sustainable, any way you look at it. So that's a big problem. And these fish, they're pumping them with all sorts of hormones and antibiotics to keep them healthy in that water to push it as long as they can. Okay, so what the problem that aquaponics solves in this case is that the fish and the plants, okay, aquaculture and hydroponics are put together. So what you have is a fish tank and you have a plant trough, okay, and the fish tank, that fish water is pumped up to the plants so that the fertilizer, the fish waste, basically, is pumped up as it's, the fish produce ammonia, and that water is pumped up to the plant trough. So what happens is in an aquaponic system, you have beneficial bacteria that's created as is naturally created in the wilderness, on streams, has this beneficial bacteria. And what that does is it's changing the ammonia into nitrite and nitrates ultimately. So therefore the plants can absorb that nitrate, getting really rich fertilized water into the root structure. And in turn, they clean that water, and it gets, it's usually gravity fed back down into the fish tank, and it's cleaned out from the ammonia, because the ammonia will kill the fish eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a symbiotic relationship between plants and fish. The added bonus to this whole situation, there's many benefits to an aquaponic system. It's really quite incredible. That's why my business is Miracle Aquaponics, I think. It's a miracle. Aquaponics is a miracle.
Wow.
The way it operates, yeah. It is, you have, you're growing fish, and the fish are happy and healthy in their fish tank, getting the clean water back returned from the plants. So you're growing fish, and this can be edible fish.
Mm-hmm.
You can do decorative fish. You can have koi and goldfish and whatnot, but you can have edible fish as well. So you're growing fish, and the fish are feeding your plants. The fish are fertilizing your plants. So you don't have to fertilize your garden.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
So your only real input in the system is the pump. You're pumping the water from one section to another.
Well, yeah, pumps and tanks. You know, you want
to
have...
Well, I mean, the tank, but I mean the ongoing, the energy, you have to apply energy to pump it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would be self-sustaining.
Yeah, you'd have to have endless water. You have to have some way to get the water into the troughs. Perpetual mm-hmm. motion machine is what I was trying to get.
Or solar powered something.
Yeah, you could hook up solar to the pumps. You know, mm-hmm. so you're not running off electricity from the solar.
Now, you were talking about scale before. I mean, this is like fish farms is large scale. You're selling commercial fish at wholesale or something. So these are huge operations.
Yeah.
But you also do, like, say somebody in Santa Cruz wanted to do an aquarium mm-hmm. that they could also get food out of or something.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, that's the whole idea behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really big on being able to offer people a system that they can put up in their backyard and have their own food self-reliancy going right there in the comfort of their home, in their gardens.
And what about the plants? I mean, there's seaweed. I know I eat seaweed, but what else? Is that it? Is that the only output from the plants that you can use?
No, not at all. Well, with aquaponics, you can grow pretty much whatever, most of the same plants you grow in your garden.
I can't grow pot that way, can I?
Well, you can, actually. That's a great question.
Not underwater. Come on.
Well, okay, let's
go. You're growing in a giant bong.
Well, let's make a clear distinction. You're not growing the plants in the water.
Oh, okay.
These aren't, fish tank plants. They grow in the water. They grow in the air, but their roots are in the water.
All right. Okay. So this is just basically a medium for the regular farming.
Yeah, this is true. And with these troughs meaning the area where the plants are grown, you can do that two different ways. You can have a floating raft system where the plants actually are in some sort of a raft of sorts,
mm-hmm.
floating, literally floating on the water, and the roots are hanging down in the water,
mm-hmm.
sucking up the nutrients.
You don't necessarily need the dirt. In other words, it could be a straw mat or something.
There's no dirt in there.
Yeah.
But you can have a substrate of sorts.
Something.
Hence,
yeah.
you know, the hydroponics.
Mm-hmm.
They use a lot of substrates. They may use clay pellets or peat. Or, mm-hmm. you know, the peat doesn't really work good in an aquaponics system.
Peat cleans the water, too, or something.
Yeah, there's something about the pH that it's good
yeah.
with that. But the substrate, you can use, you know, pellets or glass or pebbles or gravel, something of that nature, where the roots can go down, and then you might have a bell siphon of sorts where the water comes up and it ebb and flows, basically fills up, drains out, fills up and drains out. Maybe you have a timer on your pump that can control that. So there's two different things. You have the floating raft where the plants are just, their roots are just hanging in water. Or you have a substrate bed where the plants are stuck in the gravel and the roots are in the gravel, and that's a very good good way to grow, you know, with aquaponics as well. And you can put, sometimes people put worms in there because the castings are really good and the worms actually eat the dead roots in the system. So it's very, you know, there's like a whole permaculture
mm-hmm.
thing going on there. Aquaponics is very permaculturally related because it it's stacking all these functions. You know, you're growing fish and plants at the same time,
mm-hmm.
okay? And you're not weeding because there's no weeds in there.
Mm-hmm.
You're not fertilizing. The fish are doing it for you.
There's no weeds in the plants. How come? Because it's permaculture or because it's substrate?
Yeah, you have a substrate and you pretty much control that environment. You know, if it's gravel, you're planting your plants in there, and the only other seeds are going to get in there is if you had them in the mix somehow, mm-hmm. or if they blew in from the wind.
Or Monsanto people snuck in at night and planted it there so they could sue you later.
Yeah, true. That happens. Yeah.
How do you add your artistic ways to aquaponics? I wanted to ask you.
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. You know, for me, I think aquaponics would be pretty boring if I didn't add an artistic flair to it. As being a visionary artist and a metal sculptor for over 20 years, it's naturally I'm inclined to make objects of beauty and put an aesthetic in there that's really appealing to the eye. Also, the materials that I work with. This system, these miracle aquaponic systems, I'm creating from repurposed wine barrels.
Uh-huh.
So, and most of my art is recycled. I use recycled materials, recycled metals.
Mm-hmm.
That work can be seen at richart.com, which is my sculpture site.
Mm-hmm.
So I use metal and recycled metal. I use recycled wood. I use these wine barrels, and I like the different combinations of the metal and the wood together. There's a great feng shui energy happening in the garden. There's the wood and the metal and the sound of the water dropping mm-hmm. there.
It's one of the five elements.
Yeah, a lot of different elements coming into play, but. I think that it's the vibration of art and decorative systems is really nice, and I like to incorporate that into the aquaponics to make something really beautiful to look at. There's a lot of people doing aquaponics today, and a lot of people doing commercial aquaponics. I'm offering these small systems and that are just really appealing to look at and exciting to be around, and also giving you the benefits of aquaponics, you know, all the, you know.
Kind of a personal aquaponics system, mm-hmm. not a huge commercially.
I'm thinking of where this would, like, say you get a couple wine barrels and the catalyst with some fish in it, and then you could run tubes to all the plants, and that would take care of all their fertilizing and maintenance needs for the mm-hmm. plants. Is that what you do?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I coat them in a certain way, but there's lots of different variations you can do with aquaponics. I encourage people to experiment with it and build their own systems. Of mm-hmm. course, that's how I learned. I just got in there and started trying things out, and there was a bunch of failures along the way, but eventually I figured it out, and now it's a no-brainer. There's a little bit of a learning curve to it with a lot of things, mm-hmm. but it's a really smart way to grow food. You can grow a lot of your lettuce. Last summer I was growing lettuce and cucumbers and beans and peas and tomatoes and what else, radishes. I grow radishes. Interesting with radishes, they actually grow on top of the raft. They don't grow in the soil. The mm-hmm. radish bulb is on top and the roots go down in the water. And beets too are like that. Kale, chard.
So do you have these little floating mats in somebody's pond?
That
sounds interesting. So I'm more interested in the low labor part of it. If it's how much labor is involved? Once you set up, if somebody were to buy one of your systems and get it all set up, how much labor would they have to do?
Yeah, that's a great question. At the beginning, you want to be on the system, taking, testing the water a lot. You want to test the pH and the nitrate and the ammonia and make sure that everything's cool.
Well, you could do that as a service to them for the first couple of weeks or something.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah,
okay. I include a water testing kit with the system, and I'm there. They can call me, any time and ask, and you know, oh, if there's a problem, the pneumonia's up, what do I do, this and that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important to get over that initial stage of the first couple of weeks, because that's when the beneficial bacteria in the system is building up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to turn the ammonia into nitrates in the first week or so. And that's...
These are long-term kind of biofeedback kind of systems, right? They're not that simple, really. They're depending on what fish you have, all that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's dependent on how many fish you have in the tank, in relationship to how many plants you have in the trough. You want to have an equal balance there. So we're basically recreating nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a symbiotic relationship. It's recreating a natural environment.
Does it get to a point where it doesn't requires no maintenance after that?
Pretty much. I wouldn't say no maintenance. You do want to check on it from time to time.
But like maybe once a year or something.
Yeah, I've gone away for a couple of weeks and just let it run with a fish feeder on it. And it, of course, when I came back, it was totally overgrown and everything. But it was fine.
You just have to harvest then, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the biggest.
That's the best kind of when things go to go to seed, when you can harvest it.
Yeah, going to seed is a good thing too, because you can take the seeds and grow your own plants, start it all over again. There is some maintenance with, you know, when you do harvest, you want to put new plants in.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
So you want to continue that, which is natural to any gardener knows that. You're going to have to put plants in the ground if you want them to grow.
Right. So how do you sell these, like, nationwide or just local?
Well, locally right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to be able to, you know, ship them nationwide eventually. I'm basically getting these wine barrel systems, this prototype, down. So it's a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
Package it all up and put a piece of paper in there that describes it, and good to go. So, yeah.
That sounds interesting. Is there anyone locally where someone could see one?
Well, here in Santa Cruz, yes.
Yeah.
There's a system over at Arbor Antiques. It's off of Soquel Drive, right as it splits there and goes across the highway. It's actually right behind Toys R Us.
Okay, yeah.
Little system over there.
Is this like visible from the street, or do you have to go inside?
It's visible by the street, but it's a public space. It's a business that sells arbors and antiques. And
so you go in and you'd see the fish in the barrel?
Yeah, it's out in near the parking lot, so you can see. Yeah, you see the fish in there. There's koi fish in that one. There's actually, I was just there looking at it. I have like an 8-inch koi. Like that's the biggest one I have. There's about 4 or 5 koi in there, and then about, I don't know, 20 small goldfish.
Have you ever approached the Homeless Garden Project?
No.
Because that might be a way to publicize it.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that. And I do talks on it from time to time, you know. I'm looking forward to do more talks around town, just getting people educated on what aquaponics is, and that this technology is something that I believe everyone should have access to. Because, I mean, for one, aquaponics uses about 90% less water than traditional farming, because it's in a closed system, it's recirculating around. So you're not using a lot of water. There's a little bit of evaporation, but not a lot of water is lost. And that's the beautiful thing about it, is you don't have to water your plant because the system is doing it for you.
So it has a bunch of pumps with a bunch of pipes or tubes or something. So
well, pretty much just one pump.
To that, the mat or the, what did you call the not the furrow, but...
The trough.
The trough.
Yeah, in the tank. You have the fish tank and the plant trough. And for these small systems, yeah, basically one pump just to get the water up to the trough. And then it gravity feeds back down to the tank, where the water falling into the tank aerates it and oxygenates the water for the fish, because fish need oxygen too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be taken away from them in the greenhouse effect here.
So you see it as a way to solve a lot of... some of the, what we were saying, greenhouse effect, maybe? or a company.
Low water, I guess, anywhere where there's low water, which we may,
low water, big time.
You know, they're going to start doing that to us because they want to build that $150 million desal plant. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, say you're paying for water and you're going out and every time you water the lawn, it's costing you something.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have maybe a rainwater catchment or you have a certain amount of water and you put it in a system, that water is going to be there for a long time. And of course, you probably tap it off from time to time. That's fine. Put a little more water in there. If it rains, the water goes in and it overflows, and that's no big deal. That's fine, too.
What about for a golf course? Because that's who's sucking up most of our water. Mm. We're subsidizing these golf courses at taxpayers' expense here.
I haven't thought about that.
Because they use a lot of water in golf courses. Yeah, if you could somehow recycle that all the time with a bunch of cool little ponds that look cool.
Mm. Well, you'd have to have a pretty big aquaponics system and then convince all the golfers to get up on it and play golf on the aquaponics system.
Sure. The trough would be the whole 18 holes, I guess.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. There'll be a lot more water traps.
Yeah, exactly. Make an interesting miniature golf system as well.
Yeah, that probably you'd have to start that way, but miniature golf hardly ever uses real grass.
Right, right.
Are you looking to educate the younger the better, or are you going to special groups?
No, pretty much everyone. I think everybody should know this. It's great for kids. Kids love it.
Mm-hmm.
Science project or something. Yeah. They get right in there. It's easy to understand, and it's a great project. You know, a lot of people are looking for things to do these days and looking for new technologies, smart technologies, permaculture practices to get into, and this is a great way to do that. You're growing food. You're saving water. It's low cost, it's low maintenance, it's pretty exciting, and the food you grow is really amazing. It tastes fantastic. There's no chemical fertilizers, there's no mm-hmm. pesticides,
mm-hmm.
Fungicides, there's none of that. It just, the system won't tolerate it. You can't put it in there.
How did you come upon this as being an artist? Did you get educated yourself, or did you always have an interest in...
Which came first, your art or the...
I think the art.
Yeah, I've been doing the art for many, many years. And I'm always, I have really strong ADHD, so my brain is jumping all over the place. But it got to a point where... I just wanted to expand my horizons, you know, it was just calling out to me with this idea of food production, you know, and getting back to the earth and growing healthy, wholesome, organic food. And with aquaponics, the food actually, the vegetables grow quicker. They can grow like twice as quick, and you can grow more in the same amount of space.
Mm-hmm.
So these are really smart ways to grow food, and I think it's really important. There's seeing what's happening in the world and with the food, and you know, these companies that are taking, just producing such lousy food.
That's right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't even know what's in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there's we're just being fed junk.
Yep.
And I think that's not really right, but we need to take the matter into our own hands. And a lot of people don't have the space to garden. You know, they may have a deck or a porch or something. Aquaponics is really great in that situation because, you know, you don't need a lot of space.
That's the critical thing. I mean, the shit is already in the water. I'm trying to think, this is similar to, say, having chickens and goats and cows, but then you got to shovel the shit onto the plants, whereas this way you just get it, it's pumped on automatically. It's much cleaner mm-hmm. and less of a mess.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the mm-hmm. fish doing it for you, too.
You get some kind of program.
And you can eat them.
Yeah.
Exactly. And not only that, you can, you know, you could add different aquatic animals in there. You can have prawns
mm-hmm. okay,
in the plant trough. So these prawns are actually eating the stuff on the roots, the stuff that just accumulates on the root, the beneficial bacteria, a little bit of algae and stuff. So the prawns are actually up there cleaning the roots. They're cleaning the roots, and they're getting a meal out of the deal. So you don't have to really feed the shrimp, but they're feeding themselves, and they're growing in there in your trough with the plants, and they're actually, that's another symbiotic relation. They're helping aerate, creating an aerobic situation in the roots because they're up there cleaning them off and oxygenating the whole thing. So you can actually get a third crop out of the situation. You got your fish, you got your plants, you got your shrimp. And you can, and it just goes on.
You add different creatures. You know, if you could get really, really big tanks, then you could solve our, you know, they close the toilets at 12 here. We could put the homeless in those big, large tanks. You know, they get 200 pounds of poop that at the vet's hall. That could grow a lot of food for the Homeless Garden Project. Like I'm saying, you bring the two together here. Yeah. Clean up the homeless and provide a growing medium.
Yeah, that's not exactly aquaponics.
I don't know what that is.
Well, there
what it is. But it is, but yeah, it's in the...
city. What do they call those... like frogs.
Amphibian. Out of your mind.
They can be amphibian homeless.
You probably do with frogs, yeah. Turtles.
Oh, you can put frogs and turtles in the...
Yeah.
Well, it's the same problem. I mean, that's... We have this shit problem from the homeless that we always hear about. Yeah, yeah. So here's a solution.
Well,
that is... They are doing things, yeah, with that.
And it's a joke. I'm making a joke, of course.
I know.
Okay.
Trying to tie it in. And
I don't have writers for my jokes. I have to come up with them on the spot. Well, don't always get the timing right and all that.
Right.
There is a joke there, though.
Well, you know, the whole E. coli thing and everything is, you know, people do ask that question with fish. Is there an E. coli situation with the plants absorbing the nutrients from the fish waste? But there isn't, because it doesn't happen that way. I can't exactly...
It's a different species and stuff, too. It's much difficult for...
It's a different process. And chemically, it breaks down in a different way. You just don't get that. E. coli is from certain wastes getting on the leaves of the plant.
Right.
And it's just not a problem with aquaponics.
Oh, yeah. Not at all?
No.
Not even if it splashes?
No.
Well, they switch all the farming over to aquaponics.
Well, you know, aquaponics is being done on a commercial scale across America and around the world. It's actually
makes sense.
Going off like wildfire.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Because
it
just one pump. That's a lot cheaper than buying fertilizers from halfway around the world.
Well, with the bigger systems, you're going to need more than one pump.
Does it
right.
have
small systems?
You right,
have
I know.
Small.
Does it have controversy and does it have enemies? Like,
you know, it's a good question. I've never
fertilizer heard. Companies, of course, they're not
like,
the one.
Would Monsanto have something to say about
oh,
it?
Oh, I'm sure they would.
They know. We don't want that.
Yeah, it's
too healthy.
Way too healthy. No. Yeah.
Try to like, they want to buy all the aqua.
Dependent on all their inputs.
Yeah. Mm. I can't even imagine what they how they'd approach that, but. That's one of the good things about it, you know, it's more power to the people.
Yeah.
You know, we're just producing the real deal, you
right.
know, getting back to the roots of the situation.
And this is where the product is actually poop to a certain extent, and Monsanto would have to genetically modify poop. I don't think they've gone there yet.
Aren't they already doing that?
I don't know. This is a side effect, but this they would be directly modifying the poop to crawl up the ground and get into the plant's roots.
GMO fertilizer.
Well, yeah. I'm sure they're working on it, if they're not already there. So, there is, you might have heard of the famous basketball player. I think it's a basketball player. Will Allen. He was in the 70s with the basketball player.
Okay, I don't follow sports, but go ahead.
Yeah, me neither, but he's doing this Growing Power is the name of his company. Incredible situation with aquaponics, just getting rave reviews. He's quite successful with it. I think Michelle Obama went up there and looked at the whole place. I think he even got a massive grant to do aquaponics.
Mm-hmm.
And, she was very supportive of it, and it's getting some press. And
I can see it because anybody can do it. They could like a garden or something.
Yeah,
it's very easy to do. It's green. You're not, you know, it doesn't offend anybody else in the community, or maybe the neighbors, but probably less than a compost pile. It probably smells less, right? Because it's all underwater, all the...
Yeah, although there's, you know, being so close to and in the same ilk of permaculture practices,
uh-huh.
there's a lot of composting that goes on around it. For instance, some people have greenhouses. I think they did this at Growing Power, where they had their greenhouses and they... He put compost all around the outside of the greenhouse, like 4 feet up against the sides, and that actually warmed the greenhouse.
Uh-huh. Oh, interesting. From the heat of the reactions of
yeah.
the...
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Or you can have a compost bin that has you're growing earthworms in there, and they're creating worm castings, maybe feeding those to the fish.
Oh, yeah, you do have to feed your fish.
Yeah.
That's a cost. So what are the inputs here? Just the food for the fish, and some of that could be the plants you're growing. Maybe
you can make your own food if you get clever. You know, there's ways to do it. For instance, you know, with these small systems. I'm in Felton here in Santa Cruz County, and there was at a certain point in fall, there was all some these termites were flying out of these dead logs that were there. What is going on? This is crazy. So. You know, at every evening at a certain time, these termites would start flying out of logs. So I just went over there with a bag and
that's the booty call
over the entrance, and these termites went all into the bag, filled up the bag, and fed them to the fish.
Ah,
yeah.
I didn't know they would eat them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fish eat bugs, yeah. High protein, they love that stuff.
Yeah.
You get a bug zapper and cut off the bottom and put it over the top, and have your critters just fall right in there. Bees, beehives, you know, a lot of the bees, when they die, they push them out of the hive, just put that over the tank or collect it somehow. You can have a soldier fly larva harvesting bin where your compost is in there, and the soldier fly larva, they actually march up the side of the container and go try to get out, and you can have a container there and catch them all, feed those to the fish. So you can actually, you know, not have to spend any money on fish food and do it that way. And there's organic stuff too. Well, not organic, but a duckweed. There's different plants, is what I meant to say. There's different plants that you can feed to the fish. Duckweed and other kinds of plants that you can feed to the fish.
Yeah.
Take care of that. Yeah. I usually, you know, these small systems, it's takes so little food to feed them, really. So I'll just put a small fish feeder on there, and or you know.
Yeah, and their bugs are going to land in the water anyways if it's open to the air.
Yeah.
So they're going to get fed that way.
You can even put a little LED light under the water in the summertime. And
track bugs.
Yeah. The bugs will come right down. And it's just a really exciting field to be in. And, you know, I am coupling it up with the art, and I like to make some really interesting aquaponic systems that just is not what you expect to see when you come up to it. You see a giant Buddha face, and what is this? And you come up to it, and there's plants coming out the top, and there's fish living inside of it, and it's just, you know, it's really...
How much do these cost?
Well, I try to make them as affordable as possible. Some of the wine barrel systems maybe start at like 1,500 and go up to like it goes up because they're actually scalable.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my smallest one is like 1,800. Then I have some other ones that are, I think 800 is my lowest price one. It's not a wine barrel. It's something different. But I'm always coming up with new ideas. Try to make them as affordable as possible, and if anything, I can, you know, coach people and consult on how to build their own. Because a lot of times, you know, you might have a bathtub in the backyard, or you know, a tank here, and some old PVC pipe kicking around, and a pump here, and you know, most of the time, people have these parts lying around their yard, anyways. So I encourage people to build their own. But it's good to have someone who's been through it already to coach along, and I'd be willing to help people get started in there and get going with it.
Will you consult people if they call with questions first? Or do you go out and talk to them?
Yeah, I'll do a certain amount of, answering questions on stuff. I mean, there's websites out there you can get on, and forums where you can have those questions answered for you. Aquaponic gardening community is a great one. I'm on there, and I would recommend that for the first time aquaponics.
Do you teach classes or anything?
I do. I have done that last year. I taught a little bit. And this year, I'm going to be doing some more of that. Just getting my calendar together now, and I'll probably be bringing some out to festivals here and there.
Uh-huh. It sounds natural for the anarchist too. The DIY aspects to it, reusing old stuff, and then producing your own food outside the system.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'd probably do a preschool class on it or something.
Yeah.
We gotta introduce them to Roxanne. She does permaculture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's probably a lot of those kind of demonstration gardens he could go be part of. I wonder what established businesses already would go for this.
Almost anything.
Well, I would say restaurants.
I was going to say restaurants.
Yeah.
Fresh herbs plus the fish right there is a decorative item.
I'd be really excited about creating a system in a restaurant or a cafe where you're eating and you're seeing the fish swim around, and the plants are right there, either with some indoor light.
Herbs would be best for a restaurant. Fresh herbs are great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you can sit there and see how the plants are being grown.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a bar and there's fish are literally in the bar swimming.
Oh, that's a good idea too. Yeah, you can look right down on them, a glass bar or something.
Sure, and then you can pump the water out and have the plants outside in natural light. So there's things like that I'm really excited about doing, incorporating bamboo and really, nice, even recycled materials into it. It's making it really...
We know somebody with a bunch of bamboo. Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you gone to universities with this? Or they probably already have some kind of system up at UCSC. Aquaponics.
I don't recommend universities. I've talked to two physicists now, one of them a PhD, and they both insist that light has no mass while it's moving.
Oh, never mind.
So, I don't put a lot of credence in universities.
Well, Cabrillo College has a fantastic aquaponics system going on their campus.
Yeah.
They've been doing it for a couple years now. And, they grow some amazing food there. Lettuces and tomatoes, I think they're doing with aquaponics.
Households, collectives, but extended families.
What kind of artwork do you do?
Metal sculpture mostly, paintings. I do a lot of different stuff.
What kind of styles?
Figurative. I started creating my sculptures out of a need to create the human form.
Are they just look like real people, or are they abstracted in any way?
Yeah. They.
So you do like a bust of somebody that looks like somebody? Is that?
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
Do
you get call for that? I would think there's.
I do.
There used to be a lot of call for that.
I've been too active in it for a couple of years now, just because I shift around a lot and. I got sort of bored and burnt out on the metal, to tell you the truth. I mean, I still do it. It's a fantastic medium, and I love the creative process. But since I've been moving around so much, you really need
storage is a big deal with sculpture.
But I think I just had to take a break because it got a little toxic with the metal.
breathing all those fumes.
Yeah, and just being around the metal so much and the concrete floor. I just want to free it up, and I think aquaponics is a really good way to for me to, break away from it for a while. I can always incorporate that back in there. I'll,
I guess with the metal you can make fountains and stuff. If it's part of the hybrid.
Yeah, I've been made many fountains. I have fountains that are fire sculptures with LEDs in them and video projections coming out of them. I just bring it all in there. Mm. And I guess I got a little bored with it. I like to do new things and challenge myself. And being connected to the earth is really important. And that's why aquaponics is really good right now. And educating people with this stuff is really important. I think there's a really, really strong need now to educate people on this technology here, specifically the aquaponics.
Yeah, because... So what do you hope will happen this year? Get a lot more people to get these from you?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I want to bring out this the wine barrel system. I think it's a really beautiful little system.
What kind of marketing are you doing? How are you promoting this? Because free radio is not a good place to promote things.
Well, that's the one way.
Whether it's an excellent source or not, it's all about just getting the word out to people.
Mm-hmm.
And sharing ideas.
Just keep on sharing and talking dialoguing. About it and getting out there. You know, it's fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy spreading this information. But, getting on television, getting on radio shows, internet, networking with people, going to festivals, putting it out there. I'd like to sell some of these the wine barrel systems, and I'm doing commissions from time to time. That's always an exciting process when someone sees one of these wine barrel systems. Mm-hmm. Says, wow, I like that, but can you make it bigger? Or mm-hmm. can you stack them up? And there's this whole interaction with the client, myself, mm-hmm. and on a commission process where it's really exciting. You're actually building something together. They have a vision, and I'm facilitating that vision and bringing the expertise of the technology in there and all, making it really work well and look beautiful and really being something exciting.
Oh. So it's visually appealing as well as functional. Excuse me. And educational and practical.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, you
economical.
Can eat it. Art you can eat.
That's what it sounds good to me.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have these backyard gardens with waterfalls and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. And koi already in it. Well, mm-hmm. why not just hook that up to some plant troughs that are also equally as beautiful and decorative? And
excuse me.
All of a sudden it becomes a food production thing.
Yep.
It doesn't just become a place where you go out and like, oh, isn't this beautiful? Mm-hmm. But it becomes your food source. And it's just like a synergy of energy and dynamics that is just...
It just makes more sense.
It does make sense, and that's really the holistic concept of it mm-hmm. is sort of being promoted here, where we've been sort of spoon fed so long with the society. We've lost our connection to the earth and nature and animals, and so it helps reconnect with that a little bit. And we're providing our own food. There's a great feeling of self-reliancy there. And in connection with nature and earth and minerals and water and the sound of water, all that stuff is really healthy. I think helps us reconnect and ground and have a calmer state of mind. It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your website you'd like people to go to?
The Miracle Aquaponics.
Okay.
Is the aquaponics website. And Rich Art is my fine art sculpture. That's RICHEART.com.
And you're just in Santa Cruz County area?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been here for about a year now. And I will be bringing these aquaponic systems out this summer. It's going to be a great summer. I'm really excited. 2013,
yeah.
We made it. Congratulations, people. We made it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not
yeah.
the end of the world. The end of the world is still coming.
It's not so much the beginning. End of the world, but it's, we've really reached a point of momentum now, and things are just getting better from here on out.
I hate to be a bummer, but no.
Yeah, yeah, it's happening.
I mean, it's going to be 100,000 years of darkness, you know?
Not no, yet.
No, well,
no.
Not for a few
no,
decades.
That's
yet.
Another show.
Not for a few decades.
It's another show.
So you can
see?
Still drive
why
your
the world
car.
Does
you
end
can,
right
you can
here.
You still use up all that carbon and produce that carbon dioxide. Cause
well, I think we're on the way up.
We need a technological solution because we've blown it. It's fucking too late right now unless we come up with
well,
something.
Well, yeah, all those systems are burning out and fading away. And, you know, it's up to us. Hey, we are the ones we've been waiting for.
Yeah.
We got to step up to the plate.
Yeah, that's very true. No one else would. And someone is calling in here.
We're getting a call.
Hello? Free radio?
Put them on the air.
Do you, we'll put
yeah,
you
just
here,
put them on
right
the air.
Okay. All right. Hello, caller.
Bonsoir, Pierre and Reefer.
Hello.
This sounds
what
like Jim.
What would you like to say or ask our guest?
Well, I have not been following the conversation, but I was able to look at the splendid websites of your artist and aquaponics guest, and I'm very excited about his work.
Awesome. Absolutely.
Just sounds like Jim. Jim does electronics work.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter who, unless you like to identify yourself.
Is that Pierre there?
Yes, it is. Thank you, and I'm glad you're excited about that. That's what it's all about, spreading the inspiration.
Yes. Thank you for your email invitation to participate or say something.
Yeah, we have to get it out there.
What kind of comment did you want me to talk about?
Well, you're in the culture of culture change. You're in sustainability awareness, and this person is all about Pierre.
Jim also creates his own electronic devices, much like you create aquaponic devices.
Well, aquaponics has Arduino applications. There's someone in Oakland working with an Arduino program, and actually on his...
What's Arduino mean?
Oh, Arduino is a, what do they call it? It's, I'm not up on Arduino stuff, but it's a user-friendly access where you can apply many different technologies to a certain circuit board, you know, open circuit board. I'm not using the correct terminology. Forgive me for that, but, people who know about Arduino know about Arduino.
Okay.
Sounds like a little bit like neutrinos or something.
Okay.
It's probably some brand name of a mixer board or something for electronics.
Yeah. It's a very user-friendly application.
And that's for controlling the pumps or something?
You can control everything with it. For instance, so you can have an app on your iPhone, okay, where you're away from your aquaponics system, and you pull up the app, and you say, let's see how my aquaponics system is doing, and you can check on the flow of water, see if your pump is working. You can check on the temperature of your water, see if your fish have been fed. You can, what else is there to do? Maybe even have a video camera hooked up to it, and you can look at the thing. How's the temperature in the room? You know, all these things. And you can, technology is very much a part of that. There's a man, I think his company is Jenny Grows, Eric Mandu in Oakland, who's doing stuff with Arduino and aquaponics. And he, that's his vision, that's his specialty bringing to it. I'm not doing that, but it sounds good, and anyone into technology can hook that up to their aquaponics system and work that while they're on the road, traveling, wherever. Not while you're driving, though, but away from the system. Yeah.
Well, those of us with no cars and not a big yen for more technology, I'm sure can have a direct relationship with your systems and your art.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you have any other comments, caller?
Well, did you want a rundown of how culturechange.org or sailtransportnetwork.org has some kind of a connection with your discussions? You wanted me to talk about sustainability. Is there a question about sustainability that we can discuss?
Oh, he's talking about permaculture and in general. You know.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, permaculture is the way to, and that would include aquaculture, to feed more people more efficiently, more locally, without fossil fuels, and to liberate us from distant, unaccountable corporate systems.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's incorporating all the art and non-technology, but using a little bit of technology, you know, whatever you have to do.
Yeah, like calling up a radio station and talking to you. It's all necessary.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
This is Jan.
Yeah.
Okay. For a second, I thought it was Jim. It sounds similar.
Is that free?
Yeah. What's up, Jan?
Greetings.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure what next, but...
Pardon me?
What would you like to ask?
Well, I didn't have a question. I was just responding to your invitation. I'm delighted to be able to greet you and your guests, and I wish great success for Pierre's work. It's exciting. I didn't know about it until a few minutes ago.
Yay. Okay. Glad you're listening, and thank you. So, yeah, you can learn more. He mentioned it's miracleaquaponics.com.
Yes, I looked at those websites. Good stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, onward to a sustainable future, folks.
Yeah, we're here. We've gotten to that point.
Well, thanks for doing this show. And
thanks for calling.
Great to meet you over the phone, Pierre.
Thank you. Likewise.
Bonne chance. Bonne année.
Cool.
Cheers.
Au revoir.
All right. Have a good evening.
You too. Thanks. Hey.
Okay. Okay, good.
I hate that when they want me to speak French.
Even though?
He's got that Pierre.
No, I sort think.
It comes with the territory.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh. It's always someone wanting some kind of European flair. I don't know. I think
you
just spent the summer
on the internet. You know that commercial.
Oh. Yeah. Well, you're American, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, so do you think this is worldwide now? Aquaponics, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely worldwide. Yeah.
It's been done for centuries, I'm sure, in some cultures where it's like really rainy and the fish are like right there.
Oh, yeah. It's way back. Peru, Mexico, Egypt, China, and it's just making a comeback, you know, after the Industrial Revolution. It all went to this like chemical fertilizers and
this
huge thing, and everyone said, okay, great, fine, let's take, you know, handle that for us, we'll just go to the supermarket, it's all good, this is the future. But now we've gotten to the point where we see how destructive that is.
It's not so cheap anymore either.
Meet our standards. So, this technology has come down the pike, and it's really fantastic because it's connecting us to the earth and nature. And that's super important these days because, as we know, many of us know this is, I feel that there's this whole ascension happening with the earth and the human spirit. And this age we're in, we are moving at an incredible rate. And the earth is our home. And we're intimately connected with the earth, but we've lost that connection. So anything we can do to reconnect with the earth is a good thing. So these aquaponic systems help us do that. It's good. You know, you're working with the plants.
Yeah.
How much food do you get out of a one wine barrel system?
That's a good question.
I guess it depends what you grow.
Tough question to answer that. Because it all depends on how much fish you have and how many plants you have. The plant to fish ratio and the system, the size of the system. But for one of those small systems that has about 16 places for plants to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine, you know, 16 plants. And when in the summer things are going to slow down a bit. I have an aquaponic system going, a couple of them, four or five of them going right now.
Huh.
And they're all right, but they're a little slow because sometimes the plant roots in the cold water, even though it's like a winter crop, you know, you might have lettuce. Winter lettuce, kale, broccoli, chard. Oh, chard loves it. They still may go a little slow because of the coldness of the water and whatnot. And then the fish aren't really eating so much because it's so cold. So they're not producing as much effluent in the water.
Mm-hmm.
You could change that around. You could heat up the water a little bit. You know.
It depends where you look. Once again, it's that solar location. We get somewhere where there's a lot of sun, it's going to be warmer during the winter, you're going to produce more food.
Yeah, that too. You know, with the overcastness, plants don't get much sunlight.
Yeah.
So, but when it's sunny and warm, man, they are booming. The plants are growing like twice as quick and twice as much in the same amount of space. And you know, strawberries just go off and beans and peas and tomatoes, you're just loving it. So your production's gonna definitely kick up in the summer and in the warm months. But hey, if you have a greenhouse or a covering, I'm thinking about making a system that actually has a little, you know, that you can get a covering, greenhouse covering over the top, and that would be a big benefit to plants as well.
But interesting.
Yeah, I don't know how to answer that question. Exactly. It does depend. And, but if you imagine like 16 plants in there, and depending on the temperature and whatnot, that's, you know, how much food you're going to get. And then as far as the fish, well, I think like a third of fish to the amount of water you have in there. So if you have 40, this small system has, say, 30 gallons of water. So I may put 10 or 15 fish in there, which may take, you know, 10 to 12 months to fully grow out.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you get, that equates to maybe a pound of fish per month.
Oh, you're talking about eating the fish,
yeah.
Too. I see. Yeah, I didn't think of that part. So being a vegetarian. Well, 16 plants, I'm thinking, you know, for a remote grow or something for weed, you know, that might be cost effective. If there's no, you know, I don't have to visit it or anything.
Yeah.
You can automate everything.
The thing with growing cannabis in the aquaponic system is I've heard, I haven't done it myself, but I've heard that...
We're not even on the radio right now. Don't worry about making any mentions. I'm just kidding. No, we are on the radio. We're not actually violating any.
Okay.
No, that's always good. I always say you may or may not have done something.
Yeah, no, but seriously, no, yeah. Haven't tried that. And, I've heard that when it goes into flower, that it
you have to change it.
It requires a lot much more nutrients than the aquaponics
can produce.
Can provide now.
I see.
If you supplement it with stuff, that could be a possibility. It could work like that.
Or more fish, right?
Not so much more fish, more things. You know, mineral supplements.
Oh, so it isn't the nitrogen so much; it's the other. Elements, okay.
That might need a boost in another department.
So it isn't, and then that would, you'd have to watch it every day, then you couldn't just do a boost and take off.
Yeah,
or could you?
Yeah, but therefore you could have your Arduino might work with that as well. You could probably
have some
water testing thing and check your levels. Well, how does the ammonia look? How does the nitrate look?
Mm-hmm.
How does the pH look?
That's because that's a you know high value crop, so you can afford more high value technology. Just the fact that it doesn't require somebody standing over it—that's a huge benefit if you're growing weed. So the standalone system like that—if you could somehow figure out the nutrient push later during the season—that might be a very financially attractive to a lot of people, sure. And we just explode. Because I've heard of some really people running tubes down mountains and all these hidden all these different ways to get a grow that doesn't require a lot of person on site.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're recirculating the water too. I mean, mm-hmm. So we see Max Myers, sort of like my guru for aquaponics, world known. Herbiculturalist and aquaponics enthusiast and specialist. He says hydroponics. He calls hydroponic bottle ponics.
Mm-hmm.
I totally relate because everything you need comes in a bottle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you're supporting this whole plastic industry.
The bottles, yeah.
Not only that, the huge, think about the carbon footprint. Where are all these things coming from?
Mm-hmm.
Ship someplace. And there's all these pollutants in plastic. So it's mm-hmm. it's not very sustainable at all.
So you don't use plastic then, you're saying?
No, I don't use any.
No, you don't use plastic?
For the containers.
For the tubes? How about the tubes?
Yeah, PVC is pretty much the best, easiest thing to use, but... trying to find out a way to use bamboo.
Oh, that's what you were saying, bamboo, yeah.
Of course, you got to ream out all the insides. And, I'm working on some techniques to get bamboo to work without cracking and leaking and all that stuff. There's a way, it's just, I haven't quite gotten there yet. And also much more visually appealing.
Mm-hmm. Than the PVC,
How are you going to do the angles? You know, there's right angles.
Well, I mean, you don't have to be completely bamboo. I mean, you can hybrid it or something.
Yeah. Or hide the PVC in the bamboo.
Yeah.
It's like a hybrid, but hiding plastic in there. That's
not quite the same.
That's not the same. Kidding with that one, but...
Well, the turns, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Believe me, my mind's been all over it. stainless steel. Stainless steel pipe. But,
You could use brass or something. Well, that's more expensive.
I tried copper and the fish started dying. And
Because
I figured out that they don't tolerate copper.
Yeah, because they'll leach out. Because our water's acidic. So it leaches out the minerals from whatever you use.
Fish, they collect these metals and they can't. They shore mm-hmm. them in their mouth.
We do the same thing. I mean.
It's true, but we know how to. There's different things that chelate them out, I guess.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could do that with fish. Like just
you sure you could chelate it out, yeah.
Probably work as well.
But we don't care about their lives, so there's no ambulance that rushes in to save your fish.
Right.
You could do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just like you said, it's just starting now.
Yeah, and there are supplements for the aquaponic system, like mushroom additive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Nutrients from mushroom-based nutrients, stuff that are super vital to the plants and bring in micronutrients.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm interested in growing mud. Like I said, it's going to be 100,000 years of darkness now, so we have to be able to get food that doesn't require sunlight.
We just came through that period of time.
Nope, that's coming. That's coming.
No more.
You enjoy your 100,000 years of darkness. I'm going into the light.
You're contributing.
I'm with that.
Well, sure, that's why it's happening, because we continue to drive car. We all talk about the greenhouse effect. We don't really, I guess we don't consider it as a 100,000 year effect.
Well, I believe this technology is changing. It's changing so radically. It's, what we're up against is these, there's a certain faction that is with control in society that's controlling all this
direction
use of fossil fuels and whatnot. It's, for instance, like, who is these companies, these a lot of these automotive companies, they see the patents to these amazing technologies.
Yeah, they cover
like
them up.
Carburetor.
For sure, yeah.
They use such a minute use of, amount of fuel and go 200 miles, and they buy that up, and they just they put these patents in a vice where no one can get at it.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever knows about it. And we're in the dark, and we're lied to believe that we're in an energy crisis when we've already got the technology to do this. Technology is, oh God.
There's a lot more energy out there than we realize.
The public's actually knows about.
Yeah, there's huge. There's plenty of free energy out there.
All these answers, solutions are available. It's just a matter of that that global elite bubble popping, and it's eroding drastically moment by moment as even as we speak, so it shouldn't be much longer. And I think that's due to the consciousness of people in the world is raising up, and I believe the only reason these things exist already is because we've allowed them to exist on an energetic level, on a conscious level. We're just saying, okay, go ahead, take care of us, Big Brother, government, you know, tell us what to do. But now we're waking up and realizing, man, it's destructive. We're like, you know, all this stuff is happening. The environment is decaying, and these people are lying to us and feeding us this trash. I mean, mentally and, you know, nutritionally, all these different levels. So we're getting to the point where we're wising up and saying, you know something, this is, there's got to be a better way. And just that frame of mind and that holding that space is just changing so much. It's sort of difficult to, you know, quantitatively measure that, but it definitely is happening. And
it needs to happen. I mean, there's so much, even on the local level, we could stop a lot of this traffic. I mean, just shut down Highway 17. I mean, why do we need all this traffic going back and forth? You should live near where you work.
Yeah.
What's so hard about that? And like with the housing, the permits, you know, it should be designed for solar and be insulated so you don't need to use any, you know, petrochemicals to keep your house warm.
Yeah, well, you know, that movie Thrive came out. You know, I'm not a huge advocate. Well, whatever.
I haven't seen it yet.
It was good to see that a movie like that came out, and they're talking about this toroidal shape. This free energy,
yeah, there's
in everything. Well, it's, it could be way far off.
No, it's there, but it's very dangerous.
It's here. It could be dangerous.
You could blow up the planet with a car. You know, it's very dangerous stuff.
Possibly.
Yeah, I study that stuff a lot.
Yeah, and we have these free magnetic.
From magnetic motor, yeah.
There's a huge argument.
Zero gas.
People say, "Y'all show it to me. Let me see it." You know. Well, it's getting closer and closer, and people are researching that stuff. And pretty soon, someone's going to come up with it. I mean, I believe it's already invented and it's working.
Oh, yes. People have been using it for decades.
Yeah, and it has a lot to do with our acceptance of it, our collective consciousness acceptance of this stuff. When that raises to a certain level, these technologies will just. Appear and they'll be there.
What is?
They'll be like, wow, this was here the whole time.
It's here the whole time. It's somewhat dangerous. It has time and space effects as well.
I guess there's some that I'm sure are just, you know, fine that don't have any of that stuff that's just playing here.
Well, that's the thing is that once somebody, you know, a terrorist gets a hold of it, like I say, you can blow up the whole planet with it. So it's like, shit, we're kind of stuck with petroleum. Who's the main user of all the petroleum? Fucking military, you know. Most of these wars are fought over oils to who controls it, so it's hard to get rid of them. How are you going to get rid of the military?
Yeah, I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know how it's going to change, but it is changing, I know that. And we're in an age of miracles, to me.
That's what it would take. We could probably come up with something technologically if we were... moving in that direction. Yeah, I mean,
most people are.
If we started now.
But a lot of us are asleep and we're not fully awakened to the idea that this is available to us and we deserve it. It's our birthright to have this stuff. We shouldn't have.
Yeah, like this is an example of it. You could just be growing your own. You should be growing your own stuff. Like at least tomatoes or something, you know, or herbs or things that are, you know, it's just pointless to get from the supermarket.
And not be arrested for doing it.
Yeah. Well, there's that too.
The whole rainwater catchment thing.
Oh, that's so silly.
Rainwater police are going to get you. Trapping water off your roof.
Well, that's what it is. I mean, it's like, they created these artificial scarcities because we didn't need to, you know, we had the rain just came down. All the things were in our community. We needed to go outside of our community to get much, you know, maybe salt or something. Yeah. And they create these artificial scarcities so they can sell it to us, trade backwards and forth, make money off us coming and going.
Yeah, commerce is definitely a big part of it.
So, yeah, there's no incentive to find a cure for something. There's an incentive to find a treatment. You know, that's expensive and requires an ongoing. So we have no incentive to get.
Costs money.
Yeah, it's all about them. If we could somehow hook the money thing into, you know, producing better stuff.
I think that's changing too. I mean, you have all these bartering, mm-hmm. a lot of barter, trade banks stuff opening mm-hmm. up.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a free market at the Sub Rosa.
California Trade Bank. You know,
yeah.
So
that might be at the farmer's market. Not that has anything to do with it, but yeah, every place you can, and wherever they have the alternative currencies and all that, you mm-hmm. probably want to talk about alternative methods of growing food, using aquaponics,
mm-hmm.
just for all the types of people and what mm-hmm. they, how they are using their time, how they see everything, and how much would, okay, you already said it would cost a certain amount of money. What's the least amount it would cost?
It's hard to say. It depends, you know.
It's a niche market
for
thing
a budget
right now.
Yeah, like my lowest system I think is like 800.
You got to think of them more as art objects, mm-hmm. too. You know, another thing is,
that's the thing. That's where all the effort and cost comes in. Uh-huh. Because I don't want to just say, okay, here's an IBC tank and this and that.
Yeah.
Everybody's doing
You have to put it together and everything for you. Yeah, so there's labor involved.
Not only that, I mean, I'm talking about the aesthetic aspect of it.
Yeah.
I want it to, you know, if I build it, I want it to be special. Look a little special.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was saying. You know, a lot of the things that come out of the sea right now, like say seaweed or something, you may not want to eat if it's coming out of the Pacific because it's totally irradiated now because of the nuclear reactors from Japan. So I mean I don't even want to eat. I bought some seaweed crackers the other day. Did these glow at night? I'm not sure, you know.
Do I need to have this tested?
Yeah, it's like seaweed. I want to get it from the Atlantic now, not the Pacific, and I'm sure most of it comes from the Pacific. So this would be something for what you're doing, you know, with saltwater fish or something to grow the seaweed.
Saltwater aquaponics system.
Yeah,
grow seaweed.
You put in it, or you're gonna have to. That's a little bit of a challenge. How much plants grow in saltwater? But maybe you have a tank where they're all growing underwater. It's just a separate tank, or maybe it's in the same tank. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. They need a different environment than
you're
the fish.
Seaweed and harvesting seaweed.
Yeah.
It could be in the same tank, but it's like.
And the same thing with the fish too. People that buy fish are going to want to be leery about fish coming out of the Pacific. I certainly would be.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting to do like an abalone aquaponics system or a lobster mm-hmm. aquaponics. We had crayfish actually. Well, that's freshwater, but we had crayfish in a system that was in the plant troughs. But they will eat your garden. They will eat the roots and climb up. And
who's that? The lobsters?
The crayfish.
Oh, the crayfish. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but another little crop you can throw in there. Aquatic species.
Sounds cool.
But yeah, saltwater stuff is doable.
So do you have any way you want to summarize this? Do you have more you want to talk about?
Summarize it? Yeah, I don't know. I think I've said, talked a lot about it. I think that I'd be really willing to work with someone on a custom commissioned aquaponics system in a public space. I think that it raises the vitality of a space. It mm-hmm. activates people. It provokes questions. It's exciting to look at. It's mentally engaging. Very exciting to be around. Feng shui wise, they're exciting to be around. Yeah, I would love to work with someone to build a system in a public space like a restaurant or even a private space to beautify, raise the vitality of a home live space. Feel free to contact me through the website and I'll be happy to answer questions and engage in a project like that.
We've been speaking with Pierre Rich of MiracleAquaponics.com, who's in the local area, and he would be glad to talk with you and come and speak and educate you further. So thanks a whole lot for coming on tonight.
Thanks for having me on the show, Paul.
Yeah, so this has been Coral Reef and Freedom, who is just here. And we hope you tune in again next time. This is the Tangerine Dream Team Show on Freak Radio 101.3 FM. Great.
And of course, you're listening to Freak Radio Santa Cruz 101 FM. FreakRadio.org. Could always use your donations, however large or small, to Free Radio Santa Cruz. Make checks payable to FRSC. Mail to P.O. Box
7811,
Santa Cruz, California 95061. Again, FRSC, P.O. Box
7811,
Santa Cruz, California 95061, or visit our website at freakradio.org. You can PayPal a donation there. Desperately need them. Also, any music and stuff you want to send us, P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California 95061. Stay tuned. Keep it locked.